Hi there. You're listening to Terry Telford from TheBusinessProfessional.com, and today we are very fortunate to have with us two extremely successful internet marketers. We have Jeremy Gislason and Simon Hodgkinson, who really are two of the internet's premier business professionals. They've basically proven themselves over and over and over with products like Surefire Wealth, Big Survey, Secret Audio Sessions, and of course, what everybody knows, we've got Marketing Main Event and then Marketing Main Event 2, which were absolutely phenomenal successes. Basically, I heard through the grapevine, and we'll let Simon and Jeremy verify it for you, that the Marketing Main Event 2 actually made somewhere around over $600,000. So you can see the kind of quality that these guys are bringing to the table. And what we're going to do tonight is really kind of pick their brains as far as how do you start off right from the seed of the idea into product development and then actually into the marketing. How do you get from zero, where you have just the idea, up until a product that sells over $600,000 online? So without me babbling on anymore, guys, maybe we could start with your backgrounds. Jeremy, if you can kind of take us through where did you come from and how did you get to where you are today?
Sure, Jay. Well, I've got a long line of entrepreneurship in my family, and I grew up in a family where my father was an entrepreneur, and he had his own business, and other aunts and uncles had their own businesses, so I just kind of looked at life as like, you know, have your own business is the way to go. And I've seen a lot of my friends, their fathers work for companies or whatever, and I just felt, you know, having your own business was the way to go. So that's kind of how I had my mindset even as a teenager, and I just went from there, did a lot of traveling, and ended up in Japan. And my wife and I, we opened up a language school over here, and we've had that for about 10 years now, and it's been very successful, does very well, doing very well with it. However, I started, you know, looking for other streams of income, other opportunities to expand in other businesses probably about 5-6 years ago, kind of started dabbling around in different things. And one thing led to another, and I kind of got involved with some online programs and started buying products and checking things out and reading ebooks about, you know, how to make money online and things like that. And one thing led to another, and I ended up meeting a man by the name of Daryl Graham. I think it was in 2002, around that time, maybe beginning of 2003. And we kind of hit it off, and we just, one thing led to another, and ended up, you know, working directly with them for a couple of years at ISO Register Incorporated, which owns quite a few websites. The main one is ISOregister.com. And with him, we did a lot of things together. We built an online tracking system at Adalizer.com. We built an online autoresponder, very similar to like AWeber type, but it was at ISOresponder.com. We built an online rotating system, a lot of different membership sites, and we kind of put them together and just kind of learned how to do a lot of different things as far as membership sites go, and met some great programmers and met a lot of great, you know, other marketers and business owners over the course of the next couple of years. And I decided to, you know, kind of launch my own site after that, and called Surefire Wealth. I launched that in the beginning of 2005. And it seemed to take off pretty quickly, and one thing led to another, and I ended up meeting Simon around the same time I was launching my first site there, and we, you know, we kind of hit it off and just kind of got to know each other over the course of time, and I bought a lot of his products, and he was a member of my site, and we just got to know each other over the summer, and we just started working together more during the fall, and since then, you know, we've had quite a big success. We've launched, as you mentioned, the Secret Audio Sessions, Marketing Main Event 1 and 2, working on Marketing Main Event 3 now. A lot of things going on. Things have really exploded really fast. You know, from going, you know, where 6 years ago, I didn't even know really what an email account was, you know, or how anything worked at all, and to now doing, I would say, over $1 million a year online. So it's quite a big change.
That's fantastic. The six-year, the six-year, $1 million plan.
Yeah.
Right on. How about you, Simon? What's your background? Where did you come from?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've had sales and marketing, I suppose, in my blood since leaving college. I've always had an interest in sales, I guess. But I was lucky. I got a friend of a friend got a job for me working in the marketing department. It wasn't very glamorous. It was an engineering firm that did industrial air compressors.
Right.
But the engineering side of it appealed and the sales side appealed, so it was good for me. And I started working. I was an assistant to a guy probably who had maybe 40 years experience in sort of direct sales. And he'd come in house to manage the advertising and marketing of that company. And I was his general dog's body, you know, the brewer up guy, you know, nip to the shop and get me a sandwich guy. But I learnt an awful lot from him. He was a bit of a wily old devil, and I sort of got the sales bug good and proper really after working with him for a couple of years. And then sort of things for me then moved on a little bit, and I decided that I wanted to go out and really do what he'd done. I wanted to go out and be a salesman on the road and sort of make a load of money. And so I then moved to another engineering company which sold hydraulic equipment, you know, things like skid loaders and cranes and things like that. So it wasn't too much of a jump from the type of product, and again, not very glamorous, but I went out on the road as a salesman.
Uh-huh.
That was pretty much a baptism of fire. It was a tough market to sell into. You know, these were sort of people that didn't sort of take an awful lot of, it was pretty down to earth market, shall we say. So I spent a couple of years there, and then, you know, I got offers and sort of moved elsewhere, again, engineering sales. But I went then to work for a company that made gearboxes for commercial vehicles, so gearboxes for fire engines and different military-type vehicles.
Right.
And became an account manager and covered pretty much half of the UK, looking and selling to vehicle and truck manufacturers. One of the things that sort of led me into the internet arena was one of the things I hated about the job was the amount of time I spent travelling. It's great being a salesman, but you know, in this day and age, if you're out and about on the road, you spend half the week stuck in traffic jams. And you know, I was getting home late and sort of setting out very early in the morning just to sort of avoid the traffic.
Right.
And then I guess maybe probably late 90s. I started getting interested in the internet marketing arena. So I'm self-taught. I mean, I sort of learned how to do website design, and you know, I was interested at the time in search engine optimization and advertising. And I started to do website design for some friends that had their own businesses and some small companies that I already knew. And then it sort of snowballed from there. Really, I got sort of more and more requests to do more and more sites, and basically, I got to a point where I was earning enough money in the sort of like the moonlighting sort of role.
Uh-huh.
That I was, you know, working a day job and being stuck on the motorways all day, and decided at that point to set up a web design company. And this was sort of like very early 2000, and I suppose in the UK, you know, it was a very ripe market. It was, you know, a lot of companies had decided that we've got to have a website. So it was quite lucrative, and I sort of went into that full time and set up a business designing websites and sort of advising people on optimizing the sites and sort of online advertising. But running that business was a lot tougher than I'd imagined it would be, you know, because you go from the sort of corporate world into sort of like running your own business, and it's a heck of a jump.
Yeah.
You know, you go from sort of having everything really done for you apart from your job, to having to be the guy that does the accounts and you know, you become master of everything really.
Exactly.
Which was a lot tougher than I thought, because I was going out recruiting and looking for business, and then I was having to manage the business as well. So I was working more hours and probably earning, you know, the same or less than I'd done sort of, you know, just working for somebody else. So, but I enjoyed the fact of being my own boss, but it was pretty tiring. And then I started to sort of, because I was obviously into search engine optimization and online advertising, I sort of got hooked on the internet marketing bug.
Uh-huh.
So I started off doing some of my own sites and affiliate marketing, and I'd built a software application called Magic Button. It wasn't called that at the time, but I'd designed the script for some of the clients for them to capture leads from the websites. And I saw an opportunity in the market to sort of take that into the internet marketing arena. So I did that and sold a lot of those, and then obviously that led into sort of back end products, and I started to build a list. And again, it got to a point again where the sort of hobby or the moonlighting role really was, I was earning as much from that as I was from the design business. So I sort of wound that down and jumped full time into internet marketing, and really not looked back since. That's probably, you know, 2-3 years ago.
Fantastic. And that's whenever you ended up meeting Jeremy.
Yeah, but about 12, I'd say probably about 12 months afterwards, yeah, so it was, probably early to, probably the beginning of 2005, something like that, that we started talking to each other.
So how did it progress from there? Were you guys meet each other, kind of start throwing ideas around? How did you first decide that, hey, let's get together and develop a product?
Well, do you want to answer that one, Jeremy?
Yeah, I'd say we both kind of had to prove ourselves to each other, I think, first. I mean, we didn't just suddenly email each other and say, let's work together. I'd been kind of following Simon, and one thing I noticed about him was he just made some killer, products, and, was master resale rights. Uh-huh. And, they were a perfect fit for my site, Surefire Wealth, and my customers. So, I was basically buying up his products as soon as he'd get them out,
right.
I just started contacting him more after that. And,
I was going to say, I think at the time, Jeremy, you were probably paying my mortgage, weren't you?
It was well worth it, and, I've been, searching everywhere, high and low, to find the best product stuff for my members, and every time I found something that was really good, I'd look who created it, and there's Simon's name, I just knew, I was like, well, this guy's a little different than, most people out here. So, I just kind of followed him and kept checking out his products, and, he just kept making, hit after hit, and it was just really phenomenal. And I've seen a lot of other people make resale rights or just, ebooks and software with basic rights, but nobody could really create sales pages like Simon, or graphics, or continually create product after product like he was doing.
Uh-huh.
And he was just spitting them out in 2005. I mean, how many did you create that year? Was it 100 or something?
I lose count. It was probably over 100.
100 in a year?
Yeah,
it was a lot.
Good
like
Lord.
It was like every week, a new product or something would come out, and so it's just crazy. And my site was growing, and his business was growing, and we just kind of got to know each other that way. And I think the first kind of big thing we did, wasn't it Niche Power Pack 3, Simon, where I was an affiliate? And
that's right. Yes, it was. One of the things
it sold pretty well. Yeah.
That was one of the things that I started to do, because I suppose back then there was a growing interest in people moving away from internet marketing, which in itself is a niche, and we're looking outside the internet marketing arena to sell products into. And I saw that opportunity and created something called Niche Power Pack.
Uh-huh.
Because I've been quite successful. I've been very lucky because my mum is an author. And she had a lot of interest in gardening and things like that. So she was like well into organic gardening, and I sort of basically tapped into that resource. I know that sounds rather callous when it's your mother, but I basically said, you write me a book on organic gardening, write me a book on herb gardening, write me a book on blah 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 blah.
Uh-huh.
And she was just churning these things out for me, and I was selling them into that particular market. So in addition to sort of the internet marketing niche that I was in, I was selling into sort of like the horticultural market, I guess you could say.
Right.
So I knew that niche markets were very profitable. So I sort of took the leap and decided that what I was going to do was going to create a package of products for internet marketers that would take them out of internet marketing. and I created a series of products called Niche Power Pack. And I think I did Niche Power Pack 1, which consisted of sort of 10 products, and there were gardening related products, there were cookery related products, and job type products, how to ace an interview, and it was basically ebooks and special reports in there. Uh-huh. But with each product in the package, the 10 products all had their own individual website, they had all their own graphics, and it was a new thing, and that did very well for me. So that the logical step in my mind was to create Niche Power Pack 2, which I did, and I think that one had maybe 20 products in there, and then went to Niche Power Pack 3, and I spent a lot of time putting Niche Power Pack 3 together. Obviously I didn't write every book myself, I was paying people to write them, I was picking up private label rights before really private label rights became popular,
right? Yeah,
on various niche subjects, and you name it, Terry, they were in there. It was everything from sort of organising a wedding to servicing a car. It was everything was in this package, and I think there were 100 products in this package, 116 different products, and all of them.
Yeah,
it was
a huge package. Yeah.
Wow.
With websites and graphics, and then I started to look around for instructional products to put in there as well, so how to sell into niche markets as well, because it is there are differences between selling into a niche and selling into the internet marketing arena. And Jeremy, I think you saw that package and said, I'd like to promote that with you. And that was a stonking success. At the time for me it was now you look at that in comparison to sales like Marketing Main Event 2, and it paled into insignificance, but for me at the time, that was probably the first product that package that I'd done that had generated sort of above $50,000.
Right. Yeah.
So it was but the problem was I think I probably hit the niche marketing side of it before a lot of other people.
Yeah.
But then you sort of, the market start to become flooded, because obviously people saw the success that I'd had with those packages, and people see success and start to copy.
Exactly.
So there was an awful lot of niche market products being brought out into the market, and a lot of them, to be honest, weren't very good. One of the things, like Jeremy said, he bought a lot of the resale rights from me. I have always, whenever I've created a product for other people to sell, and that's an area that I do like to work in, because obviously you're selling in a way a little business to somebody.
Yeah.
But I've always known, from being as a salesman, people will keep buying from you if you help them make money. So
exactly.
I used to focus a lot of my attention on writing good sales copy for the resale rights products, and putting good graphics on them, because I knew that would help people sell. And if people, people buy something from you for $100 or $50, and they go away and 2 weeks later have made, $500 or $1,000 from it, then the next time you release a product, they're going to buy it again. So I built up the business very quickly like that, because people were saying, I can sell these, and I've made a lot of money selling Simon's products, and people kept buying them. So for me, it was great. I was acting as a wholesaler in a way.
Right.
And the business sort of went from there, and then Jeremy and I promoted Niche Power Pack 3 together and had good results. So that's really, that was the first, even though I suppose we'd known about each other prior to that, I think that was probably the first time we worked together seriously, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was the first time we started kind of emailing each other more on a personal basis, and not just customer relationship basis. We started kind of actually talking to each other
I think it was when I saw how many sales Jeremy brought in that.
So you guys were actually, you're both on really in the forefront of now industries like niche marketing. I mean, it's a very commonplace for lots and lots of different niche marketing products. But Simon, you seem to really have almost been one of the people who developed or started to develop that side of the market. And Jeremy, with Surefire Wealth, you're one of the first websites that had a really good index of these resale rate products, where you can actually go to the website and get the real products. So you both seem to be sitting kind of right at the very forefront of two industries that now are very mainstream.
Yeah, that's a good point, Terry, because I remember you know, in 2003, 2004, trying to look around, find products with resale rights or master resale rights or, you know, private label rights or whatever I could find. It was really hard. And
yeah.
The stuff I did find, a lot of it was just junk. And I did find a few good things here and there, and I just kind of put those in a, like, folder and, like, well, these are kind of okay. And, you know, and then I just kind of kept going from there. And what I wanted to do is create something, you know, from the customer's point of view, from the user point of view, not from the owner point of view. I wanted to make a site that I would be happy using, and that's how I created Surefire Wealth. And, you know, I created it from the user's perspective, and I wanted it to be really easy to use and easy to find products and have good products, not just be loaded with a bunch of junk. And I had joined so many, you know, so-called membership sites before that where you log in and then they stick you a page of 100 links and you don't even know what the heck you're downloading. And
yeah.
To me, that just wasn't the way to go, you know. You know, I wanted it to be really flexible and people could come in anytime and find things easily and have images and descriptions and, you know, really, you know, kind of the way Amazon.com displays their products. And I kind of wanted to go, you know, that route to make it really user-friendly. And I wanted to separate it from the rest by having, you know, quality products. And, again, that's why I found Simon, you know. And, you know, things just kept leading up. So after Niche Power Pack 3, you know, we communicated more and we worked on other things. I think, what was the next one? I think there wasn't an affiliate enhancer, Simon, or something we did a few months later where it did pretty well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think I followed... I mean, I create a lot of products, but I tend to sort of, you know, maybe every, or at that time I was probably creating a big product every couple of months. So it'd be sort of, you know, regular products, and then every couple of months there'd be sort of like a $200 product in there. And I think the next one that I did after Niche Power Pack 3 was Affiliate Enhancer. And basically that created, again, you know, I don't want to claim that I was the first to do it, but it created landing pages for affiliates, and that was sort of before everybody started talking about squeeze pages.
Yeah.
And that sold again. That was something that I think we worked on probably together a lot more than even Niche Power Pack 3, because we'd already sort of like worked together. And Jeremy, I think you were one of the top affiliates on Affiliate Enhancer as well. And again, that sort of caught people's imaginations, because in the past there was very few people talking about creating landing pages for affiliate programs. And obviously at the same sort of time the sort of pay-per-click was becoming more and more popular, and I could see that people were just losing an advantage by, you know, paying for a pay-per-click ad and sending somebody directly to an affiliate site.
Yeah, and this is in summer 2005 for people listening, so
right.
And it just seemed a crazy thing to do. I mean, I hadn't really dabbled with any kind of advertising, because the products that I was creating, the resale rights products, were building a list for me anyway. And I was sort of picking up subscribers on sort of reputation and from the sites that I got out there in the marketplace. But I could see people losing, you know, money on pay-per-click, because basically, you know, this is history now, but you know, you'd send somebody to an affiliate link for a pay-per-click ad, and you know, once they clicked the link, if they didn't buy, you'd lost them for good. So I thought, well, what you need to do is to create what has now become a squeeze page, and capture email addresses, maybe get them to download a free report, and then you could keep selling to them. So if they didn't buy first time round, you got the opportunity again, and obviously reduce your cost to advertise. But it also, you could use Affiliate Enhancer as a sort of like as a redirect page as well. So you could, you know, if people were already on your list, you could sort of pre-sell a product to them and then just send them to the sales page. So that was something that, again, that worked very well for both of us. We promoted that, and that was a successful product as well.
So how do you... Sorry, go ahead, Jeremy.
Yeah, I was just going to say, right, it was just kind of a real lead-up, you know, from throughout the whole year of different events. And then I think you probably remember too, Terry, during 2005, a lot of the fire sales started coming out in the marketing world. And we were kind of just getting flooded with them during the a few came out during the spring, and then during summer it was like everybody was having a fire sale every day.
Yep.
And a lot of them were just junk. And Simon and I were just thinking, hey, you know, you know, let's do something that'll really help people. And, you know, I kind of emailed him a few times. I was like, yeah, let's get together and do something, Simon. And I just kind of want to do something just for my own members with him in the beginning.
Uh-huh.
And I think Simon was kind of like, yeah, okay, yeah. But, you know, he's a busy guy, and I was busy, and we just kind of left it at that. And finally, I was like, I think it was in September, and I was just like, had enough of these fire sales coming up. I was like, Simon, we got to do something, all right?
Yeah.
Seriously. And I think we got on Skype or something, or we did something. We got together, and we just said, all right, let's do it. And then we got serious about it, and we just went to town after that.
And I was going to say, and at that point, Jeremy surprised me because we were discussing, right, okay, let's put a package of really good quality products together. And we said, okay, we need a time frame, you know, something to do this in. And I create a lot of products. And I think Jeremy said, okay, we'll do it in 8 weeks. and I'm like, you know, Jesus, guy's really serious. So, you know, so Jeremy was a bit of a drill sergeant, and he sort of, you know, come on, we can do this sort of thing. And I suppose it was a kick up the butt, you know, on a daily basis from Jeremy, yeah, that got it done so quickly.
That's fantastic. Well, what do you, Simon? I mean, I can't believe it. You could create 100 products in a year. How in the world did you go about doing that?
Well, obviously, I didn't do them all myself. You know, I use programmers and ghostwriters. Take private label, write content, rewrite things. The thing that I like doing most is writing sales copy. Uh-huh. You know, I like the product creation process, and I think I've got a pretty good nose for what sells and what doesn't sell. You know, but of those products, I mean, I'm not by any stretch of the imagination saying that the 100 products, they all sold fantastically well. Some of them fell flat on their arse, and, you know, excuse me, French. I think for me, it was the product creation process and the sales copy process that I enjoyed most. I didn't really market them incredibly well. You know, I maybe send one email. I see some people that will create a product and spend 6 months selling it. I'd create a product and spend 6 minutes selling it and move on to the next one.
Let's talk about that. That's stuff, I've never heard that before. What do you do? What do you do for 6 minutes for your product?
I mean, basically, I would, because I think I had quite a loyal list of subscribers.
Uh-huh.
That knew that whatever was coming out was going to sell for them.
Uh-huh.
I could basically just send an email out to my list and say, look, I've got a new product here. This is your potential market. These are the type of people that you can sell it to. It's a hot subject in this specific area. You know, here's the download link. Go and see the sales page for yourself. And that would generate probably 50 to 100 orders, maybe 150. And depending on what it was, you know, sometimes more. Which, you know, gave me a very comfortable lifestyle. So I'd spend all week creating, you know, one or two products, and then send an email out on a Friday afternoon, and people would sort of scramble and download the latest thing. So it worked very well for me, that.
Yeah.
So when I say six minutes selling, yeah. I, you know, really, you know, okay, maybe 16 minutes selling, because I would, you know, sometimes I'd spell check the email and before I sent it out, and that was basically what I was doing.
Yeah, I think one thing, didn't you used to have two links in your email, Simon? Like, one was buy the product, one was go straight to the resale rights.
Yeah.
Yeah, and because that's the one I always used to hit. And if you go to, we were just talking about the other day, if you go to like Google and type in Simon Hodgkinson, and like his name comes to like 400,000 results. And it's all of his products, you know. So his 6 minute selling has created just a resale right empire where tons of people are selling his products online. And, you know, he's got backlinks, you know, all over the place going back to his main sites. And so that was also his SEO strategy, too, which worked out very well.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was that's two products in one that I could do that. I could do the 6 minute selling audio and the lazy SEO, because basically, I used to be really into it, and I used to be tweaking. This is when I was working in the web design sort of area.
Uh-huh.
I used to be, I rabidly sort of studied everything there was to do about search engine optimization, and then realized that, you know, that was becoming, you know, a complete waste of time. So I used to put products out there. I mean, I honestly, Terry, I don't know how many websites I own.
Uh-huh.
but it's a lot. I really couldn't tell you, and I'm not just saying that. I have no idea how many domain names I own, how many sites I own. But it's, you know, it's over 100, and some of the sites have maybe 10, 20 products on them. Some of them have more. Some of them, I've got membership sites and everything out there. So that became, in a way, I suppose it's not really the lazy way to get good search engine rankings, but as Jeremy said, there's a lot of backlinks out there, and that brought me a lot of traffic, and people that would buy a product from somebody else, you know, it could be fifth generation down the line, but somebody buys a product that I've created. One of the things that I always do with resale rights products is put some way of the person who buys it to come back to me,
right?
And that built my list. In various ways I did that. You know, if I create software, I'd make it so that the user registration brought people back to me, and then gave them something else as a bonus to sign up to the list. So it built a good following of people that would buy products. So really, I didn't have to work very hard to sell them.
And then you're building your list on the back end as well.
That's right, yeah.
So do you have one main list, and that's basically that's the one you send your newsletter or your e-zine to, or do you have all these different various lists that connect to each different product?
Well, Jeremy will tell you about my list. I'm not a very organized person, Teddy. I have 60 or 70 lists, and of those, maybe 10 of those lists are fairly active. But the main one, if people go to infoclicks.co.uk, is the resale rights list. And if people go there now, they can probably, they still can. There's sort of four or five books that I've written on resale rights and how to make money with resale rights that they can just download for free from there. So that may be the main one, but then I have niche lists, I have sub-niche lists, and again, too many to really tell you how many, because I just don't know.